To Daniel chapter 5, Daniel chapter 5, takes us to 539 BC, the 70-year Babylonian captivity is coming to an end. The last king, Belshazzar, is on the throne, and let me give you just a little bit of background and a couple of dates. Title of this chapter would be The Handwriting on the Wall. You've heard that saying, right? See the handwriting on the wall? Well, that's where that saying came from this chapter in the Word of God. Belshazzar, the king, prior to the 20th century, there was no record of Belshazzar, so Bible critics, the big libs that like to question everything in the Bible and try to trip up Bible believers, argued that Belshazzar was not a real king, but only a figment of literary imagination because there were no references to him in secular history. But then in 1882, the Nabonidus Chronicles were found by archaeologists, confirmed that Nabonidus entrusted the kingship to Belshazzar when he abdicated the throne. So it is in the historical record. Remember, whatever the Bible says about history is always absolutely correct. Always. If anything, the Bible will correct secular history. So the royal family of Babylon, you had Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar died around 562 BC. We're now in 539 BC. His wife was Amytis, A-M-Y-T-I-S. And they had a daughter, Nitoris, who married Nabonidus. They together had a son. His name was Belshazzar. After Nebuchadnezzar died, his son-in-law Nabonidus took the throne, but he had a breakdown, not like Nebuchadnezzar, but he had a breakdown. And he abdicated his responsibilities of Babylon to his son, Belshazzar. And as we read chapter 5, we see that Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar is called his father, and we'll talk about that here in a bit, because he was actually his grandfather. But it was not uncommon for one to be called a father. And there's a reason for that. And again, we'll talk about that here in just a bit as we go along in the study. All right, so let's begin. You should have received an outline. It's not very detailed. The one I have is very detailed, overly detailed. Back in the day, I got a little crazy. Some call this chapter Feast to the Finish. Feast to the Finish. All right, George, read verses 1 through 4.
Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring forth the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of silver and gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone.
All right. Thank you much. All right. Belshazzar the king made a great feast. And while he was making this great feast, the armies of the Medes and the Persians were surrounding the city of Babylon. They had already attacked the surrounding areas. But Belshazzar was so full of pride and so full of himself and full of self-confidence that he said, there's no way that these invading armies are going to get over the walls, the great walls of Babylon. So he decided he was going to have a great big feast, really more of a drunken orgy, as we see women are involved as well. That was unusual to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Well, what Belshazzar did not know is that the invading armies had diverted the direction of the Euphrates River, which ran underneath the city. And so they didn't need to climb the wall. They came underneath the wall to get into the city. Well, Belshazzar was tasting the wine, which seems to imply he was doing a lot of tasting. It wasn't a little sip. It wasn't some kind of wine tasting. He was drinking heavy. So when he got under the influence of the wine, he commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar, and let me pause and answer the question about why he's called father. Oftentimes in scripture, rather than referring just to bloodlines and genealogies, the word father is used referring to an ancestor or a forefather. So going beyond just the physical side of things, it talks more about the significance of the person in relation to the one being talked about rather than the biological lineage. So that, and again, that's not uncommon in the Word of God for that to happen, especially in the Old Testament. I was under the impression for years that there was no, remember, this portion of Daniel is written in Aramaic, and there is a word for grandfather in Aramaic, and I was taught somewhere along the line that Hebrew did not have a word for grandfather. That's not true. They do. There is a word for grandfather, but often we read, like here, we read father, which is more in regards to his being a forefather or someone of a big importance. Well, Nebuchadnezzar learned humiliation, did he not? Nebuchadnezzar was brought low, but yet God allowed him to get his kingship back. You would have thought that his grandson would have learned from that. As we read on, we're going to see that he knew about it. Nebuchadnezzar's wife, Amytis, was still alive. She was the queen mother, and we'll see that she talks to Belshazzar. And so certainly this was well known. He didn't care. He had no regard for God, no regard for the things of God. So he calls for the vessels. Remember, back in the first chapter, when Nebuchadnezzar in 586, one of the first besiegings of Jerusalem, took some of the cups of silver and gold, the vessels from the temple. Well, not only did he drink out of them, but so did his princes, his wives, his concubines. They all drank. And again, it was very unusual to see women at these banquets, which means there was probably a whole lot of hanky-panky going on, wouldn't you think? This was not a godly gathering by any means. So they got the vessels, took them out of the house of God, and the king and all his princes, wives, and concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and stone. I got to thinking about how God has rebuked our nation often over the history of America. We can look back and just check history and you'll see the hand of God. You'll see his rebuke. I've been listening to history. Never had much interest in history other than Bible history and American history, but never really got deep into it and trying to get a little deeper into American history. And it's so obvious that we should have lost to the British. The Revolutionary War, the victory there was a miracle of God. Same with the War of 1812, miracles of God, God's hand at work. And people responded, and many of our leaders were such godly men that sought the Lord in prayer and sought his wisdom. And of course, we have become more and more secular as time has gone on. And God loves us, God loves all of us, and God wants us, of course, as a nation to follow his leadership. And we have not done very well in doing that. And so it's just a reminder that we need to pay attention to past rebukes. It's amazing to me how many in our, even in our leadership, are leaning toward communism and socialism. You know that socialism was tried in the early days of our nation. I got a great idea, and I don't remember which one it was that said it. I got a great idea. Let's grow stuff. We'll all put it together, and then everyone will take what they need. Well, it turned out that there were some working like animals and others that were chilling. And so there, guess what? People started starving because fewer and fewer wanted to grow anything because there was only a few doing it and all the rest were lazy bums. So somebody else said, hey, I got a better idea. Let's all get a little plot of land and do our own thing. If we have excess, we can pool it all together. Guess what? They had plenty. And here we are in 2026 with a mayor in New York City deciding it's a great idea for us to go ahead and have a government-run grocery store. We'll have one in each borough. And we're so serious about this, rather than buy an existing building, there are several that grocery stores that have gone out of business. We're gonna build one. It's going to cost $30 million, and it'll be done by 2029. Now, you know how well that's going to work. There are only a few items that are going to be cheaper than a normal grocery store, but it'll end up driving many grocery stores out of business. Everywhere it's been tried, it's failed. Kansas City tried it. It lasted for 10 years, gradually failing until now it's completely failed. I never had realized that Kansas City had tried that, but they have. Other nations, all you got to do is look around, check history. See what happens when we don't learn from history. We're doomed to repeat it, right? But those are the elites. Those are the smart ones. We're supposed to follow them. Yeah. Well, that's how the account starts here in Daniel chapter 5. A night of revelry. Belshazzar's drunkenness, verse 1. Belshazzar's desecration in verses 2 and 3. And Belshazzar's disgust in verse number 4 as they praise the gods of gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, and stone. I don't know what good praising gods that don't exist does, but we do the same. You know, everyone has a god or gods. Even those that say they don't believe in God or in Christ, they have a god. Oftentimes, it's themselves. But everybody has a god. Might be a mate, it might be a job, it might be a hobby, might be sports. Everybody has a god. Many have themselves as the god. One thing we need to learn really, I mean, we as Christians, we of course know this, is number one, we are not God. Think about how much better Congress and the Senate would do if they would say, within their own hearts, I'm not God. I'm not God. There is a God in heaven. All right, let's read on. Verses 5 through 29, if someone will take 5 through 10. 5 through 10, volunteer, Ms. Sherry. And then 11 through 16, Scotty, I saw that hand. 17 through 22, who will read those? Becca, and then Bill, if you would take 18. What was the last verse? 22? 23 through 29. Okay? All right, go ahead.
And this same hour came towards fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. The king saw the part of the hand that wrote, and the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosened, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold around his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king, and his lords came into the banquet. And the queen begged and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed.
There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding of wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Forasmuch as an excellent spirit, and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men and the astrologers have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing, and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing, and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom.
And Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this.
And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the God of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know, and the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways you have not glorified. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the inscription that was written, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom.
All right, thank you much. A night of revelation. I'll give you an example of how detailed I went on this. Underneath a night of revelation, you have the handwriting, verse 5, the whore, verse 6, the herald in verse 7, the hopeless in verse 8, the helpless in verse 9, the hopeful in verse 10, the heaven sent, verses 11 through 16, the hardness, 17 through 22, the haughty, 23 through 28, and the harvest, verse 29. Now you know why I didn't give you all those. Got a little carried away. It's hard to find all those H's, you know? That took some imagination, didn't it? All right, let's look at verse number 5. In the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand, and he wrote over the candlestick above the plaster of the wall in the king's palace, and the king saw it. And the king's countenance was changed, I guess so. He was so troubled that the joints of his loins were loosed, his knees were knocking. Now that's fear. He was absolutely terrorized. And what did the king do? Just like his grandfather, the first ones he called, was it Daniel? Of course not. He called the elites. He cried literally with might to bring in the astrologers, Chaldeans, etc., etc. Same old failed policies. It kind of reminds me of progressive policies, but we won't get into that. Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation, he promises they're going to be clothed in scarlet, chains of gold, etc., etc., third ruler in the kingdom. So all the wise men came in. They didn't have a clue. They couldn't read it. Now, it was in Aramaic, but from what I've studied, apparently it was in some kind of mixed up form where it was not recognizable. They couldn't make sense of it. So he said, whoever reads this, you're going to have all this good stuff. And they all came in, couldn't read it, couldn't interpret it. They had no clue. Seems like that's pretty much, I hope they weren't getting paid. Let's put it that way, okay? Of course, they were government workers, so, you know. No slight on you, Billy. Talking about, and you. No, it's not you guys. King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed. His lords were astonished. And the queen mother came in, I believe, from the context, if you read what she said, it appears it was indeed Amytis, Belshazzar's grandmother, the queen mother. By reason of the words of the king and his lords came into the banquet house and spake to the king, said, O king, live forever, let not thy thoughts trouble thee. And what she was basically saying there was, pull yourself together. You're losing it. Pull yourself together. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. And there's a man in the kingdom, and of course she describes Daniel, in whom is the spirit of the holy God. Many translations have it translated. I guess it's perfectly acceptable where it could have been translated spirit of God. In whom is the spirit of God. If her husband Nebuchadnezzar came to faith in Jehovah, is there not a possibility she did as well? So anyway, it can be translated either way, spirit of the holy gods or spirit of God. In the days of thy grandfather, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods was found in him, again could be God, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy grandfather, the king, I say, thy grandfather made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. And of course, Belshazzar ignored all that and brought the same ones before him first. Notice how she described Daniel exactly as Nebuchadnezzar did. Now, you could also, some say that this was his daughter, Nebuchadnezzar's daughter, saying this. So it can go either way. doesn't have to be Nebuchadnezzar's wife. It could very well have been the queen, his daughter. But I favor by a long shot that I think it was his grandmother. Well, you can take any view you want. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting a dream, showing of hard sentences, dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called and he will show the interpretation. I don't read any doubt in that at all. Again, I really believe it was probably his grandmother. So Daniel was brought in. He turned in a time of crisis to the one he had long ignored. And so keep in mind as we try to convince others to believe in Jesus Christ, might be your son, your daughter, grandchildren, whatever, brother, sister, neighbors, whomever it may be, never give up. You may feel ignored, maybe you are ignored, but our time will come, won't it? Our time will come. They will realize what we've been telling them sometimes for years, sometimes for decades, is true. As I've often said, there are no atheists in hell, are there? Because as soon as they go into hell, they're going to know, oops, God is real. Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be. And it'll be too late. And so Belshazzar asked Daniel, art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my grandfather brought out of Jewry? I've heard of thee, that again could be translated, the spirit of God is in thee, that light and understanding and excellent wisdom, etc., etc. I called all my phonies and they couldn't do a thing for me. But I've heard of you, verse 16, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed, promises, the scarlet and the gold and all that. And the third rule of the kingdom, Daniel, lest someone might think that he is being influenced by these gifts, he refuses them. Let thy gifts be to thyself. Give thy rewards to another. I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. So in verses 18 to 21, Daniel proceeds to give him a history lesson. It's probably more of a reminder. I'm pretty sure he knew this. Would you agree with that? You don't think this was talked about among the family and beyond? Certainly he knew this. He ignored it. Can't happen to me. It can only happen to somebody else. Yeah, it might have happened to my grandfather, but it's not going to happen to me. It's amazing how we as human beings think somehow or another we're going to be the ones to get away with it. You ever notice that? O thou king, the Most High gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy grandfather, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew. Whom he would keep alive, he kept them alive. Those he set up, and those who he wanted to put down, he put down. But he got lifted up with pride as he looked over the hanging gardens and the beauty of Babylon and said, look what I have done. Aren't I a great king? What a man I am. Even had a 90-foot image of himself set up for his people to worship. His heart was lifted up, his mind hardened in pride. He was deposed from his kingly throne. They took his glory from him. He was driven from the sons of men. And I told you the name for this is lycanthropy. He became as an animal, and his heart was made like the beasts dwelling with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. But unfortunately, Belshazzar did not learn from his history and he did not humble himself before God. So he was indicted by the Lord on three distinct charges. Number one, he was charged with sinning against the light of knowledge. If we don't respond to the light we have, judgment is the only alternative. Yes, sir.
Quick question.
Yes, sir.
I understand all the significance when they're describing what he went through.
Uh-huh.
What is the significance when they say his body was wet with the dew of heaven?
Remember I talked about his hair being matted and claws like eagles.
I thought maybe it was saying like he didn't bathe and that's how he, whatever.
Well, that would be a part of it for sure. They didn't take him aside and put him in an animal bath.
So it just rained on him basically.
Yeah, he was nasty. Can you imagine 7 years out in the wild eating grass and no bath, no. I imagine he smelled a little poot. It took more than one bath to get him straightened out after 7 years. And thou, his son, grandson, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. So he did know. He knew. He ignored it. He absolutely ignored it. Secondly, he deliberately defied God. But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And so he deliberately defied God. And number three, he worshipped idols. He worshipped idols. And he did not, of course, acknowledge the one true God. He didn't fulfill the mission in life that God had intended for him. He ignored God. And we have to be very careful that we do not do the same thing, that we ignore God's purpose for us. Our birth was not an accident. You know, when we got saved, that was not an accident. God has a plan. And if we live according to his will and plan and purpose, we are fulfilled. We are filled with joy even in the midst of storms. We have a sense of satisfaction in knowing that God has chosen to use us. And as we are used, we are fulfilled. You ever notice how more and more people have no idea what the purpose of life is? They're pursuing all kinds of avenues to try to find the purpose of life, maybe through psychiatrists and psychologists, because they're not fulfilled and they're miserable. Many are miserable because they've left God out. Yes, sir. Yes. Drugs. So, Belshazzar didn't care about the purpose of God for him. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, I think New King James Bill read, said finger. And this writing was written in the way that the pronunciation is in this Cambridge Bible. It has the long E sound, meanie, meanie. I like that. I know a meanie in our church. Meany, meany, tickle, you farson.
That was a good one. Yeah.
This is the interpretation of the thing. Meany, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it, which says very plainly, your number is up. You're finished, pal.
It says it twice.
Hope you enjoyed it. Your number's up. And then, Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Again, because you have not fulfilled what God had expected of you as an earthly ruler, you have been weighed in the balances and you've fallen far short, my friend. You're done. And then, Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Now, there was a play on words in the statement that it was written on the wall. The last part, you see euphorson. Euphorson is one of two things, either the plural or it is the verb form. I lean toward plural because there were two kingdoms that would take over Babylon, and that would be the Medes and the Persians. So you got two different kingdoms. And the way it was worded, and you can see in verse 28, and given to the Medes and the Persians, your kingdom will end. It will be divided between these two kingdoms. Cyrus would be the king, the leader of the Persians, and he was kind of the stronger of the two. Darius, some say Darius, some call it Darius, but Darius was a Mede, and he was given control over Babylon by Cyrus. Some say that that was not a proper name, but instead it was a title, because you don't find Darius anywhere in history. And I don't know if you've ever heard of John Whitcomb. Dr. Whitcomb has been gone for several years, but he wrote commentaries. And he has argued that Darius the Mede is probably correctly equated with Gubaru, the governor of Babylon who ruled for Cyrus the emperor. Babylon was retained in all of its splendor by the Persians as an administrative capital, along with Ecbatania, Susa, and Persepolis. And those will be on the final exam, so you need to remember those. All right. Well, it didn't take long. God didn't give Belshazzar a year to figure it out whether he wanted to repent or not. Hand of God moved quickly. They commanded Belshazzar, verse 29, that they clothed Daniel with a scarlet and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That would be short-lived. Like a matter of moments. In that night, this is number three, the night of retribution, the death of Belshazzar the king. And again, I wonder if they thought, well, it can't happen to us. Verse 31, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old, 62 years old. Just like Babylon, we have, as Americans, much to cause human pride, don't we? God hates pride. We may have a lot of pride, and we may have much to cause human pride, but we have little to provide security. And unfortunately, we're often blind to this, and the results are disastrous. Questions or comments? Next week, the lion's den. One of the greatest stories in the Word of God. All right, let's go over the prayer list together. Thank you, sir. Continue to pray for the church, pray for our nation. I guess you all heard about what happened last night at that, what's he called?
Correspondence,
that's right. All I could think of was news. It's a crazy world. Pray for Iran's situation there, of course. Israel, Ukraine, Venezuela, Cuba, and we could go on and on and on and on. The world is in turmoil. Just keep praying that God will continue to direct our leaders. Please don't think in the short term. Everybody's freaking out because they're only looking at the moment. Look in view of the future, how all of this fits together. Study it out. Do some research. And I don't mean go to all people that are spouting off. I'm talking about research through people that know what they're talking about. And you'll see if it all fits. There is a plan. This isn't haphazard. This isn't just flying, shooting from the hip. All of these various things are going to work together if we don't destroy ourselves beforehand. We are so impatient. Everything's got to be right now. I didn't hear a bunch of screaming and crying during the 4 years of Biden and all that was going on, weaponizing the government and all the other things that were going on. But when Trump got in, he was supposed to fix everything in the first 30 days. Isn't that crazy? Be patient. All right. Pray for our troops. Pray for law enforcement. Pray for ICE. Our missionaries. Don't forget, especially Hope House here locally. I encourage you, especially you ladies, to stop by and see if maybe there's something you could do to help out. See if they need any specific supplies. They're always needing paper products, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if you have some spare time and want to stop by, tell them we're praying for them, okay? Pray for Mark and Rhonda. Pray for Bill's blood pressure and kidneys. So far, so good. Your kidneys are still working. Your blood pressure hasn't blown the top of your head off yet. So that's a good sign, brother. I talked to Ronnie. Ronnie called me on Friday. It was Friday or yesterday? Friday, I think. And he did get my message, but he's felt so bad, and he just hadn't felt like calling. I encourage you, don't call him, because, like I say, he felt so bad, it took a week and a half for him to return my call. But if you think about him, you got the new directory, has his address on it. Send him a card that says, I'm thinking about you. He said to say hello, and he's praying for us. He didn't sound good yesterday, so pray for him. And send a card if you think about it. I know it'll encourage him. Continue to pray for Darlene. Had a very hard week. She's in the hospital now, but pray that God will build her strength back up. She felt better this morning, according to what Kathy told me. Continue to pray for Riley Knotts as he continues to mend and have therapy, that friend of Rebecca out west. Pray for Dwayne's mother, who had a stroke, and son has pneumonia. Annadale's niece, did she have the surgery, Annadale?
Yes.
How did everything go? Oh, you did? Oh, yeah, I see. Lori fell again?
Yep. I don't know how bad, but I know she did something to her finger, and they said they was having trouble getting it to stop.
How many of you heard the preacher tell her last week she's got to start using a cane? Raise your hand. She didn't listen. You got to listen to the pastor. Oh, poor Aunt. She has fallen so much. Pray for poor Laura. I knew something was up. She didn't come today. She's not going to be here. She'll let me know. Oh, my. I see your little note, and I did well. Annadale's niece. Pray for Rebecca Dawson's sister, Linda, who has AFib, and she went to the hospital, and they didn't move fast enough, so she left. So she has not been treated for this AFib. Pray for Amanda. She has some tests on Thursday. Depending on the results of those, there may be more things coming. And pray that God will use me for his glory in the coming hour, okay? All right, let's stand together and take these requests to our Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for who you are. You are a great God. And Lord, we are so unworthy to be called your children, but Lord, we thank you that you drew us to yourself and you convinced us of our lostness and our need of a Savior. And we thank you for Jesus, who is our Redeemer, our substitute. He is indeed the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And we thank you that as we from the depths of our being believe that he died on that cross to pay our sin debt in full and was buried and rose again as he was delivered up for our offenses and raised again for our justification. We're a thankful people, and I pray, Lord, that you would touch the bodies of these we called out to you this morning and heal those that need healing. And we pray, Lord, that if there are any of those that are unsaved, that through the time of suffering they're enduring, that you would draw them to yourself and they would believe in Jesus and be saved. I pray, Father, that you would bless the coming hour as we look to your word. I pray, Father, for your power, for your wisdom. Holy Spirit of God, fill me afresh and anew, that your word would go forth and hearts would be open to it, that we wouldn't just listen, but we would hear and respond as you so direct us. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your people. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior. Help us to honor him each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.